Today's scripture reading will be Psalm 103. Thanksgiving for God's goodness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives you of your iniquities, who heals you from your diseases, who redeems you from your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made his known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As for the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows that we were made, he remembers that we were dust. As for mortals, for their days are like grass, they flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows no more. But steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children, to his children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments, the Lord has established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you might only do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of God.
Lord our God, as we are gathered here as your people, we are grateful. We give you thanks today for the church and for the message of love, the message of grace, the message of forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving our sins again today. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship you, to express our gratitude to you in song. And thank you for your word, and as we are about to listen to your message for us today, may your spirit open our hearts and minds, may your spirit remove any obstacle that might hinder us from being open to receive the message. We pray that you will now bless us, in the name of Jesus, amen. So we walked into Roy Rogers. It was in 1994 in Long Beach. The place was empty. Besides the two of us, there was one other person in the restaurant, only one. And he looked somewhat desolate, like life hasn't treated him that well. So most of you probably know that Annalise and I were born and raised in South Africa. And in 1994, we came to the United States with two suitcases and a little less than $1,000 in our pockets. And we figured that, you know, before we settled down and maybe start a family and all of that, we would come to America for a one-year adventure. And that 1 year has turned into 29 years. Initially, it was very, very difficult. We had a few things going for us, a good education, no issue with the English language, our love for each other, my sense of humor, Annalise's good looks, and our shared faith. But it was tough. We didn't have any furniture, we didn't have a car, didn't even have a TV. And for quite a while, we lived on a food budget of $5 a day. So when we went grocery shopping, we did so with a calculator in hand. And we actually walked the 7 blocks to the grocery store, and we carried our groceries back to the apartment because we didn't want to spend a dollar on a bus ticket. And I'm not kidding. It was hard times. I got to like, you know, the New York-style pizza, but I couldn't afford a second slice. And as a result, we ate a lot of vegetable beef soup, Campbell's. Thanksgiving is not a day that is celebrated in South Africa. And so I remember our first one in the United States very, very well. We heard about the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, and we took the train into Manhattan. It was a bitterly cold and blustery day, and I don't think we were quite prepared for the size of the crowds and the freezing temperatures. So we didn't stay for too long. And when we got back to Long Beach, we had lunch at Roy Rogers. So there we were, the two of us and the one other person in the restaurant. And like I said earlier, he looked a little ragged, lonely, and was kind of depressing, to be honest. And maybe just like us, he was at Roy Rogers for his Thanksgiving dinner because he too was without any family or friends. And that was our first Thanksgiving. But why am I telling you this story? Because when I look at our lives and our situation now, all these years later, here in the lovely Douglaston, with 2 cars and a large, large TV, and a beautiful cottage to live in, and 2 great kids, and many dear friends, and still the two of us with our love for one another and our faith, I can't help but recognize God's grace and the multiple ways in which He has blessed us. And that makes me grateful. I'm filled with gratitude for God's goodness and His blessings. You know, in our faith, we have a tradition that once a month we celebrate communion so we don't forget about God's goodness and the deliverance we have in Jesus. And so once in a while, Annalise and I would have a can of Campbell's vegetable beef soup, a kind of communion, a meal that reminds us of our humble beginning here in America and how grateful we are for God's grace and His provision. And so grace is a word we, you know, we throw around a lot in our religious worlds and our church lingo. But what is grace? What is God's grace? What is it exactly? How would you describe grace? I think grace is everything God does for you and me, even though we don't merit it. Grace is God giving you what you need and not what you deserve. And the Bible says that everything you have comes by grace. Everything God does in you and through you and for you and to you and by you is by grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. You're not worthy of it. It is just a free gift. So in Psalm 103 that Michelle read to us, our scripture passage for today, there's a laundry list of the things that God does in our lives by grace. The psalmist says, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He's merciful and tender toward those who don't deserve it. He's slow to get angry, never bears a grudge. He's not punished us as we deserve for our sins. And so as people of faith, we are blessed by God's grace. And those are some of the things we are thankful for, or should be thankful for. But we also experience God's grace and His blessings in our everyday lives. You know, just by living in this country, you can consider yourself blessed. For instance, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 3 million people around the world who will not survive this month. If you've never experienced the danger of battle and the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting like this without fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in this world. And if you have money in the bank or in your wallet and some spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Things we kind of like, I don't know, take for granted. But I think you get the point. We are blessed. And as a result, we have much, we have so much to be thankful for. The thing is that if we're going to be truly thankful, deep inside thankful, then we need to realize that ultimately, we are not the cause of all the good things in our lives. You say, well, I worked for it. I worked very hard for it. And yes, that's true. But where did you get your health to do it? Where did you get your intellect and your gifts? And so in the end, I think everything we have really comes from God. It's what God's word says. Everything has come from you and everything belongs to you. And so above all, God is the one we need to thank on Thanksgiving and really on every day. Counting our blessings and giving thanks to God, the giver of all good things, all good gifts. That's what Thanksgiving is really all about. Now, of course, life is not always good, is it? It's not just one blessing after the other. There are times when we suffer. There are times when we endure hardship. And when life gets hard and we struggle, doubt may sometimes creep in. When life is not all we expect it to be, we sometimes question God's love for us and whether He truly cares for us. And so if that's you, then let me give you some encouragement. In his book, Let the Journey Begin, God's Roadmap for New Beginnings, Max Lucado writes, God is for you. Had he a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. We know that he has a tattoo, and we know what it says. I have written your name on my hand. The bottom line is, you don't have to try to get God to like you. He already does. It's not about you being good enough to somehow get his favor. He unconditionally loves you, and he wants to grace you with a life you don't deserve, not because of who you are, but just because that's who God is. He's a loving Father. He chooses to love me in spite of who I am, with all my faults, with all my ugliness, because that's who God is. And when I understand that on a more than superficial level, it changes the way I look at life. And you know what happens? It makes me grateful. Because you see, when you realize that you get to live a life you don't really deserve, when your life has been invaded by grace and you're filled with gratitude, something happens to you. It begins to show. It begins to show in your face because you smile more. It begins to show in your words because you are kinder in what you say. It begins to show in your actions, because you're becoming more loving and a more generous person. So what I'm saying is that when you have a deeper understanding and appreciation of how God's grace is flowing into your life, the more gratitude and generosity will be flowing out of your life. I know these are difficult times we're living in. With all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in America. And I know you have challenges and battles that you face, that you have to fight. I know there might be some uncertainty in your life and illnesses and other problems. I know you're crazy busy and you're not always aware of God's presence in your life. But today, instead of complaining about your problems, start counting your blessings. Instead of focusing or fussing over the things you don't have, be happy with the things you do have. Instead of looking at what you've lost, start looking at all you have left. In the end, it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of how you look at things. And maybe when you look at your life, you realize that, well, it's never been necessary for you to take a calculator with you when you go grocery shopping. Maybe you've never had the need to eat a lot of Campbell's vegetable beef soup. But please know today that there are millions of others who see this as a small miracle, who look at this can, and what they see is a true blessing from God. And there are millions and millions more who would do anything to get their hands on a simple can of soup like this. So let's be grateful for God's grace, and let's give Him thanks. So before I conclude with a prayer, I want us to just take a moment and share with one another something we're thankful for. Now, I could say, you know, God, I'm really thankful that, gee, I don't have to eat as much of this soup these days as, you know. And thank you, I'm thankful for my family. And I'm sure it's something you've done around the, you know, the Thanksgiving table. And you're probably also thankful for your family and your friends and your health and all of that. But I want to ask you today, what are you thankful for when it comes to community church? Or what are you thankful for in terms of what this church has meant to you at some point in your life's journey? And I want to encourage you, if you'd be so gracious to join me and just say out loud, God, I'm thankful for, or I'm thankful that, and say something about community church. And when the thank yous dry up, I will close with a prayer. Thankful for the music.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Everything.
Foundation.
The foundation.
Friendships.
And his wife.
Yeah, the better half. The one they like more than me, right? There was somebody else. Brings you closer to God.
The generous people of community church.
Generous people of community church.
The love I feel every time.
The love you feel. Anybody else? Anybody in the back here? I don't want to forget you. The what?
All of our children.
All the children. The nursery school that your kids attended here at CCD. And the Sunday school. The music and the song.
The choir.
The choir.
Community or friendships?
Friendships.
I'm grateful to see all of the beautiful faces that are facing us every week.
Do you feel the same?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You were going to say?
For your words.
For my words, thank you. Anybody else? To feel good energy. I want to thank God for giving the Mussini kids the ability to just sing harmonies, just like that. Didn't even practice this morning. Anybody else? Any final words?
I'm thankful for the family, which is for me, extended family, the Community Church of Douglas over the last 20 years. As you know, my family is in Poland, so you've been always so supportive in the very hard time. And in a very good time. And also I'm thankful for our great new organist, which is Guy, you know.
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for the symbol that the church brings in my life at the neighborhood.
I'll never forget, you know, when I came for the sermon that I had to preach for the congregation to decide, you know, we met with Michelle and he drove us around a little bit, showed us the neighborhood, and I remembered him saying, he knows when he gets home, it's when he hears the bells and the music the bells play. It did? Excellent.
May I say one more?
Sure.
I'm grateful for all the people that have gone before us that established our church, yeah. Its traditions, the love that they poured in, their heart and soul that they volunteered for our church, and for them, for the past, we wouldn't be where we are today.
For the people of the past. Madeline? Thank you. Kim? For the warmth you feel here. Thank you. All right. Wow. I didn't expect all of that. So thank you so much.
One more.
Is there one more? Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for singing with us once in a while. Great. And coming this Sunday when it gets dark and Christmas Eve, that window will even be lit better than before. So thank you, Michelle. Yeah. All right. I'm now so overfilled with gratitude, I don't know what to do. So let's close. Well, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Christy. So after the prayer, I am going to invite Michelle to come forward just to speak a few words. So let's close with a prayer. Lord our God, we are grateful for your love, for your grace, for all the blessings. And a very important blessing in our lives is this church. So thank you for this faith family. Thank you for this beautiful sanctuary and the campus. Thank you for all who are with us, both in person or online. And thank you again for who you are. We praise and worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I did forget to say, those of you who might be online, if you want to say something in the chat, we'd love to read it later, and thank you for your presence as well. But at this time, I want to invite Michelle to come speak a few words.
Albert has not learned yet that it's dangerous to be an older one in a happy audience.
That said, we want to refer to this as Prodigal Sunday. And in many ways, there are a lot of folks who have passed through this church and may, and I believe in their hearts, think of it as their church. So, you know, Christ gets a lot of mention in the church. Anyone notice that? He gets Easter, gets resurrected on Easter, he gets born on Christmas. This Sunday is for you guys. It's for the generation that is out there, to come back. So, with that, a lot of us get to experience this church every day of the week. We want to make sure that the folks out there recognize that you don't just have to experience it on Christmas and Easter. You can experience it through Facebook, you can experience it for your family, but experience it. That's it.